You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Wednesday. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. Today, joining me to talk Thunder ahead of tonight's game, the first person to ever have me on a podcast ever, Brady Trantham over from Franchise Oklahoma, Franchise OK, whatever you want to call it. How you doing, Brady?
Doing well, Tony. Yeah, it's been a while, and we've moved up in the world, so that's a good thing. Good thing that we're not both doing the same thing we were doing, what, a year or two ago?
2 years. I was in college. It's crazy stuff.
I was 2 years out of college at that time, which makes me feel even older. So that's how you start off the show. Yeah, let's just feel like crap now.
You're doing a Thunder show every day now, right?
After every game, okay. I couldn't do it every day for the pay I'm getting right now. So if they pump up my pay grade, I might. Yeah, I can do a Locked On Thunder type of podcast if you need me to.
That'd be fun. That'd be good. I would like that. Brady's been covering the Thunder for forever. It's about time I had him on here to talk Thunder, especially after the last game they played, which I don't even remember how that went. Brady, how'd that game go in Indy?
Yeah, it was a Domantas Sabonis coming out game for fans in Oklahoma City that have not paid attention to him since the trade. So, I'll toot my own horn, and I've done it on this podcast, or I've done it with you on your podcast. Done with Alex Golden on his podcast. I was one of the few people that told Pacers fans and you guys, like, hey, you're gonna love Domantas Sabonis. That is not a throwaway guy in a trade to make, you know, the numbers work. I thought Sabonis, I thought his development was really intriguing. I thought he had a lot of tools necessary to become a really good player, and he hasn't really surprised me at all. Like, he's had a nice little steady progression. And it's been really a good sight to see. And I was one of the biggest Victor Oladipo stans since he came out of Indiana. So I understood why it didn't work out with that 1 year in Oklahoma City. He came here to do something else if Kevin Durant had stayed. That didn't happen. So the plan got changed. Wasn't necessarily on him. So that also hasn't surprised me. But it's been nice to see that Indiana, even with the unfortunate injury of Victor Oladipo, it's been nice to see how successful the Pacers have been.
Yeah, we owe you guys big time. The Serge Ibaka Hall has turned into the Pacers Hall. I'm quite excited.
It's funny when you can trace those trades back, you know, just years. Like, oh, yeah, Serge Ibaka equals Paul George.
The magic somehow intertwined poorly in all of this.
Yeah, the magic still got like 14 point guards to go through the Orlando minicamp, pretty much.
Yeah, Sabonis is funny. This isn't really related to tonight's game, but we'll get to that eventually. Sabonis is funny because when he was with you guys in OKC, it's like, what this is where I struggled to see him being really good at some point. It's they didn't, you know, he's clearly a center. Like, now we know this guy is very good as an inside player, as a role man, as a passer, whatever. In OKC, they already have Steven Adams, but they wanted to develop this guy in case they kept him long term. Yeah. So the plan was, okay, we need a floor spacer around Russ. You're going to shoot a billion threes. And I remember early in the year, like the first 30 games, he was shooting them really well. And he fell off kind of at the end of the year, but he was more of a stretch four, and that's why it's been so different for him. For me, is I didn't think he was like, I was like, oh, this, you know, he can't shoot really well. Like, what are we getting here? But then it turns out he's a center, and that's so much different.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to what I said about Victor Oladipo, like the circumstances changed as soon as Kevin Durant left, and so the script got flipped on the Thunder. So they had to do a bunch of things probably that they didn't want to, and Sabonis kind of fell under that category. Yeah, I think I can't remember who I said it to. It might have been you, Tony, but I thought, and I still continue to think this, I think Sabonis, like, his potential is that of a Pau Gasol, just basically a point forward, point center. I really, truly believe that he has that type of potential, and I think we've kind of seen it. I think Thunder fans got to see it a little bit in that loss a few weeks ago. Yeah, he is not a floor stretcher by any means in terms of consistency, because like you said, yeah, he was okay from deep for those first 30 games and he hit a rookie wall. It's just come down to the Pacers being able to put him in positions to not just succeed but develop and bring out his strengths, and I think that's been kind of the beauty of seeing Sabonis's development.
I guess since we started with the trade, we'll just keep rolling.
Hey, why not?
We'll just go. We'll flip to Paul George. Do you think he has any shot realistically of MVP?
No, and I didn't think.
Yes, Brady. Good job.
I didn't think that even when the Paul George for MVP thing was going on, you know, in full steam with Thunder fans. Now, there was a part of me that first game after the All-Star break when Paul George hit that floater over 8'12" Rudy Gobert and at the buzzer to win the game that I thought, wow, he could go ahead and win the damn thing if this keeps up. Like, he could seriously threaten to
win. Didn't he have like 40-something in that game?
Yeah, he was absolutely incredible. And then, of course, the Thunder lost the next game, which was, you know, they have a double overtime thriller against Utah. And then less than 24 hours later, they have to play the Sacramento Kings, which if you're going to have a back-to-back, I think the Kings are probably one of the worst teams to play just because of their tempo. And the Thunder, of course, lost that game. But then they had a few days off for a Tuesday night matchup in Denver against the Nuggets. I was in the arena for that one. And that's where Paul George got his shoulder hurt. Now, Billy Donovan today at practice said that Paul George was fine. Paul George has always said that he's fine. But I see him in the locker room after games where he's sitting in his chair with his jersey still on 20, 30 minutes after the game ended. He's icing the damn thing. I've seen him in the hallways with the trainers on the road where he's being stretched out. And it basically just takes a lot to get him onto the floor.
Yep.
And because of that, you know, he's not playing as well. He'll have his games here and there where he
played great in Indy.
Yeah, he'll have his games. Like, it seems like one out of every four games he has a game like pre-All-Star break Paul George, and then he'll follow it up with just three really bad sinkers like he did last night where he missed, I think, his eight of his first nine shots or something. And as a result of that, the Thunder just aren't as good. And as a result of that, Paul George's MVP candidacy just kind of died, you know, an unceremonious death somewhere maybe against Golden State, maybe on the road against Memphis last night if people were still holding out hope. But, yeah, I never thought so. But, you know what, for the Thunder, it's just a good thing that he's even in the conversation, because if he can get back, if he can become healthy, if he can get back in that good rhythm, then the Thunder are a dangerous team, and they're a hard out, because if Paul George is hitting his threes, Dennis Schroeder is coming off the bench and giving you good scoring, and the Thunder can get back to their defensive ways. Yeah, I mean, it's just good for the Thunder that he was even in the conversation to begin with.
Yeah, he still can get third, which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's really nothing to sneeze at when you consider either Giannis or Harden. It's really a shame that one of them has to lose, because both guys are just
completely any other year they both candidate. Clear favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you brought up the thing with his shoulder and how often you see him icing it or with trainers, because Vic had his knee injury right in late November.
Yeah.
And he missed 11 games after that, and it just kept saying knee soreness, and some people were like, oh, you softy, you know, get back on the court, and some people were like, you know, he's going to get hurt for the rest of the year again if he starts playing, and then he starts playing again, and he's a little worse, but he's still good, and every time I saw him, like, locker room, practice, whatever, like, brace on the knee or ice on the knee or something all the time, I was like, this guy's not healthy. Like, why is he pushing it? And then you come to find out once he gets out for the year that he was pushing through pain. It's like, man, is this really what we should have been doing this whole time? Like, I'm not saying PG's going to get hurt again. It's just like, it's eerily similar to me being like, oh man, I don't like this.
Yeah. It really wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the Thunder have eight games left. If they have something similar like last year, they just get a quick 5-6 game exit out of the first round. It's not going to really surprise me if Paul has some type of surgery, or during exit interviews, it's suddenly revealed how actually injured Paul George was. Now, realistically, yes, that has played into the Thunder not being as good as they were pre-All-Star break. But at the same time, I'm always of the opinion that if you're healthy enough to be out there, you kind of lose a lot of the, I guess, excuse factor of, well, if Paul George wasn't hurt, the Thunder would have kept the three seed, and who knows what could have happened then. It's like, no, it's unfortunate that he got hurt, and that does have a lot, like I said, that does play into why the Thunder haven't played well. But he's healthy enough to be out there, and his presence alone on the floor means so much for not only the Thunder but their opponent. So not that many excuses will fly for me when it concerns Paul George's injury.
That's good. That's a reason to take. I love it. I'm excited for this game because of how last game went. mostly, you know, there's passion on both sides of from Paul George and pretty much every Pacers player who was doubted for that whole last season when they played the Thunder. But also because it was just such a good game. You know, the comeback was fantastic, a buzzer-beating finish. How do you anticipate the Thunder trying to recapture the dominance they had in the first half from that game? Because everything was clicking so well for them. And I don't feel like they changed a ton at halftime. It just everything stopped going their way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because last night really changes a lot of the outlook for the Thunder because, I mean...
Oh, the Grizzlies game. Yeah, tell everybody about
that. Lost to what can loosely be called the Memphis Grizzlies. Valanciunas, I mean, Justin Holiday hit, like, every single open three. Guys that are just fringe NBA guys were just blowing by Paul George. Guys were just making Russell Westbrook look silly. Like,
yeah, Caboclo at 24.
Yeah. It's like, what? I had like Thunder fans are kind of notorious in that, you know, it's a young fan base. And so I don't really expect there to be that many people, especially like in the general Twitter Thunder universe that have watched the NBA pre 2008 before the Thunder got here. But it's always funny to me when it's like some random guy goes off for 25 and Thunder fans are like, who the hell is this? And it's just like, wow. I mean, what did Fran Fraschilla say about him a few years ago in the draft that he was
2 years from 2 years?
Yes, two years from
we finally reached that point. We're here. We're at that point.
That's so great. I completely forgot about that until I just popped in my head. That
well, you know what's funny is his career high before last night was a 12-point game against the Pacers, and they won that game by four. It was like right after Vic's injury.
Congratulations, Oklahoma City. No, but it's really interesting going into tomorrow or tonight's game, with the Pacers, because I thought after that Thunder loss in Indianapolis, I said, and I kind of got burned by it by some other people that cover the Thunder, I thought that was the worst loss for the Thunder that year.
Wow.
That does not mean that I think the Pacers are a bad team. On my radio show on Saturdays on the franchise, back when Victor Oladipo was healthy but kind of sporadically playing because of that knee soreness, I kept trying to tell people, guys, the Pacers are a good team. They're winning games without their guy. Like that, you don't do that in the NBA and you're not good. You don't do that on accident. That does not mean that I think the Thunder have lost to worse teams than Indiana for sure this year. But I thought the way that they lost that game was just so telling. This team, when they're forcing turnovers and they're hitting shots, they can look like a top three, top five team in the league. But when they play that way, when they play ultra aggressive, when they are fighting for every little, you know, deflection, every loose ball, it gives you kind of an over-aggressive mentality, and it can also kind of lead to you basically getting a bunch of sloppy fouls. That
a million.
That
the whole game
lasted 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just basically Bojan going to the line, Sabonis going to the line. It was so telling to me for the Thunder. And I told everybody, like, yeah, Indiana's not a bad team. I'm not trying to say that at all. But if the Thunder are going to get bounced in the first round, it's going to be because they cannot stop fouling. And, you know, they lost a game in L.A. to the Clippers because Paul George and Russell Westbrook fouled out when the game was in doubt in the fourth quarter. They lost a game. I know there was another game. They should have lost in Portland the last time they played the Trailblazers because they sent them to the line damn near 50 times. That's the hugest problem with this team. So I thought that game was so telling. But even after that game, despite thinking that, I thought the Thunder are going to turn around and beat the hell out of Indiana when they come to Oklahoma City just because this is what this team does. They're so inconsistent, but you can predict their inconsistency. They're going to look terrible for this stretch, but then they'll bounce back. And I thought it would be against Indiana tonight, but that loss to Memphis really kind of throws a monkey wrench in all my thinking with this team because I can't remember the last time that this team was at such a low point. Maybe that injury-plagued year when everybody was hurt, including Kevin Durant in the 2015 year and the Thunder missed the playoffs.
Oh, because that Anthony Davis banked-in buzzer-beater year?
Yeah, that year. Maybe at some point that season – when Kevin Durant actually decided to join the Warriors, but that's not actual basketball. So in terms of actual basketball, this is a real low point for this team and this franchise. So I'm going to be curious how they perform against Indiana because as they learned, Indiana is not a team that you sleepwalk against, even though Vic is out for the year.
Yeah, for those not super keeping up with the Western Conference standings, rightfully so, the Pacers are in a battle of their own. The Thunder dropped to 8th before their loss to the Grizzlies, but again after their loss to the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
4-6 in their last 10 games. Every other team in the West playoff picture is 7-3 or better, and then the Warriors are 6-4, but whatever, they're going to be the one seed. So there's a battle right there, and not playing the Warriors. Like there's a way to me where, you know, maybe the Blazers end up 3, where the 2-3 6-7 is like Clippers, Thunder, Nuggets, Blazers. Like I'd pick the Thunder to come out of that group of four teams. So they're right on the cusp of like an easy path to the Western Conference Finals. They're also right on the cusp of playing the Warriors in the first round, which has got to be such a hard place to be mentally.
Yeah, it's really hard to project this team in the postseason because, like, on the surface, yeah, they're 6-12 in their last 18 games, and that's terrible.
Wow.
But those six wins include road wins against Utah, who they swept this year, Portland, who they also swept this year, and on the road against Toronto. You know, I think what only the Raptors, not counting that Jeremy Lamb buzzer beater that happened a few nights ago. Like the Thunder were like the 8th team to beat Toronto in Toronto this year. So it's really hard to project how they can, I guess, flip a switch in the postseason because I don't think they really are capable of doing that. They haven't proven it so far. But it is weird that they've, you know, swept Utah and swept Portland. I think the Clippers are playing a little bit outside of their minds recently. I really don't know how to project them either.
They played 74 games in the whole season. I've been like, they're playing out of their minds. Like, I have to eventually be like, they're this good.
They blew up their team with the Tobias Harris trade, and they're still good.
They're still, it makes no sense.
But it's one of those things where on paper, yes, you're going to pick the Thunder just because that team is just too talented. Like, that team is just too talented. And this year, prior to the All-Star break, they showed everybody what they're capable of. So it's really hard to pick against them when you're grouping them in that level of the Western Conference standings. But with how they're playing right now, I wouldn't pick them to beat Sacramento if there was like some weird 8-9 play-in game. I really wouldn't.
Man, cool story for the Kings. I wish they made the playoffs.
Shame. There was a point where I was like, when the Thunder had the 3rd seed and the Clippers had the 8th seed, I was like, the NBA just needs to step in and say, LA, you guys need to decide if you're tanking or not. Because if you're trying to tank, just do it now because we need Sacramento and Golden State in that first round. We need that. The fans need that.
Everybody. That'd be the best, the most fun sweep of all time.
It would be so much fun.
Unquestioned best sweep.
I want to see Buddy Hield drop 35 and a 15 point loss.
Oh man, De'Aaron Fox, that kid's got a future. That kid has got a future. I did not know the Thunder were 6-12 in their last 18. They looked pretty good in Indy. Like Paul George was hitting all these shots, and Russ had a nasty triple double, like 14 points, and Steven Adams. Like, you're right that the thing to me was the fouls. The Pacers had 32 free throws. Terrence Ferguson couldn't contain anybody, and Jeremy Grant was a little handsy. Dennis Schroeder is a bad player, I think, and played bad on both ends of the floor. It's like all they have to do is not foul, but Sabonis gets him in foul trouble, and they don't have the, you know, Terrence Ferguson can't keep guys in front of him. Like, it's weird because I feel like the gap between the 6th best and 7th best player on this Thunder team is so huge that's how the Pacers can exploit this and win again. And I'm confident they can do it, but I don't think they will do it. And that's the worst place to be mentally.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, I talked to Billy today about kind of that exact thing, especially going back to that Indiana loss with the fouls. This wasn't a case of the officials like completely burn the Thunder. There was that one possession at the end of the game where Paul George got hit by a Miles Turner moving screen.
Completely decked.
Yeah, which is sadly been a
hip check extraordinaire, Miles Turner.
Yeah, and Scott Foster is like standing right there looking at it. And I like during the game, I was like, wow, okay, let him play, I guess. But you know, I talked to Billy about this and just asking basically, like, is this been the most consistent problem with you guys since the All-Star break, in his opinion? He thought, yeah. It's just them getting sloppy fouls. I mean, it wasn't like the Pacers were doing anything spectacular in that third quarter. They were just here, Demontis, here's the ball. And then Markieff Morris would just slap him, or Jeremy Grant would slap him on the arm. And it was just, it just fed into that 2-hour long third quarter that got the Pacers back into the ball game.
Shout out to free throws. 27 for 32 will get you a lot of wins.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I really don't know. I can just sit here and just simply tell you that the Thunder are broken, because that's really what it looks like. They play like a broken team. They have no resemblance of the team pre All-Star break.
You're making me more confident.
Here's the thing. Whenever you think you can pin this team down, good or bad, they do the opposite. So, I mean, a lot of us covering the team thought, yeah, that was a great win against Toronto on that Friday night. That was a great win. And it's the type of win that should be able to be a springboard back into, like, some positive habits, and then you start going on a good stretch run of wins. And we all agreed, but if they lose to Memphis, in no matter how the fashion they lose, all that good stuff goes away, and all that good stuff went away.
I saw Matt Moore tweeted, Thunder, whatever, -7 against the Grizzlies team with none of their good players seems like free money. On the other hand, though, it's the Thunder this season, so you never know.
They're in a way, they're like the easiest team to just predict, because whatever your initial reaction is, go with the opposite one.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Denver game the Pacers just played, they completely smoked them, 34-point win, is like that Raptors game where, you know, the Pacers just stunk on their road trip. Horrible. They haven't won a road game in eternity, which bodes well for the Thunder in this game. But I'm hoping that Denver game can springboard them into better habits. Now, losing to the Thunder, unlike the Grizzlies, will not revert me back to where I was before the Denver game. But I'm hoping that game is a nice springboard. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, yeah, that's what you always look for in a regular season. I mean, what, the Pacers have 8 games left, too?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you're really looking for. It's not necessarily you've got to go 8-0 or 7-1 to guarantee you a good, you know, postseason. Like, even if you lose some of these games, and the Thunder, they have a very tough schedule even to end out this regular season. Even if they just go 500 or a little bit below 500, as long as they're doing things that are to their identity and they're just losing just because James Harden has a good night or somebody from the Pacers gets really hot, you know, you can accept those things in a regular season. You just have to keep doing things that are to your identity. And for the Thunder, they're forcing turnovers, getting out on the break. And with that Pacers game a few weeks ago, yeah, you're right. The Thunder, that looked like the Thunder. That game in the first half started giving me confidence that, okay, Paul looks like he's getting more healthy now. Maybe this team is waking up from its post-All-Star break slumber, and they're going to start to resemble the team that we saw prior to the break. And then that third quarter happens, and Thunder Nation is just still kind of in this, we don't know really where to pinpoint this team, except for they're on the lower half of the Western Conference standings. And that's, you know, that's where you can be the most definitive with them so far right now.
Yeah, Corey Joseph, half-court shot, knocking you down a whole seed.
Yeah, you know, just like, you know, just kind of coming full circle since we mentioned the Anthony Davis buzzer beater from 2014-15. Yeah, that Corey Joseph half-court heave, it might really sting when you think about it now.
All right, I have two more questions. One silly and one is serious.
Let's do it.
So silly, this game is on ESPN. What ends up higher, the number of times they mentioned the trade or Steven Adams' points?
The amount of times they mentioned the trade, because another consistent theme with this bad stretch of Thunder basketball in these last 18 games is Steven Adams has looked terrible.
And really?
Last night was the exclamation point. He was 1 of 7 for the floor, had 8 rebounds, which is okay, I guess, but it's Memphis. Valanciunas is definitely – he's no scrub. Valanciunas is a very talented center in the league. But he typically gets worked by Steven Adams. And last night, it was the complete opposite. There were sequences where Steven Adams struggled to just jump straight in the air.
Wow, 44% shooting last 5 games.
Yeah.
7.3 game. Yikes.
It's either him missing shots or he's dropping pinpoint passes when Russell or Paul get to the paint. And they're trying to dump it off for him to, you know, set him up for an easy opportunity. Whatever is wrong with him, it's really eking into his athleticism and his ability to score high efficient shots, because he's just not doing that right now.
Wow, I did not know that. That gives me you keep saying things to give me more confidence. This is bad. The Thunder are going to win by 40.
Yep, it's coming.
That's the other one. That's the serious question. Final score prediction, as close as you can get.
I'm going to say the Pacers are going to win.
Ooh, you're making
117 to 111, and the Thunder are going to be down double digits. They've been down double digits in their last three home games. They were down at least 19 points in each game. They're going to be down double digits, but because this team is really good at scratching and clawing its way back into the games, they're going to come back. They're going to give everybody like this thought of, wow, they could actually come back and win this game. They're going to piss me off because I'm going to have my story half written, and then I'll have to delete most of it because they come back and possibly could win. And then they'll just ultimately lose because this team cannot hit timely shots. They can't generate good shots. And if they get to the foul line, this team cannot shoot free throws.
Well, that's a terrible combo. I'm going to go a little lower scoring than you because I think these teams are better on defense. I will take the Pacers, too, just to keep the theme alive. 105-101.
That's about
Bojan, with Bojan having another great game.
I mean, the Thunder killer, right?
Killer.
Him and Sabonis.
And then if Sabonis is the Thunder killer his whole career, man, that's going to be so awful for Thunder fans.
You know, it's interesting just because I kind of noticed it in that game a few weeks ago. Last year, I could hear it on the floor when I in that first Oklahoma City Indiana game at the beginning of last season, sitting closer to the floor covering the game, Russell was just giving Sabonis every little just mental jab he could possibly do. He'd call him by the wrong name, and Russ and Sabonis loved each other in their 1 year with each other with the Thunder, but he was just getting under Sabonis' skin to the point where it was affecting Sabonis on the floor. And there was one point in that first half a few weeks ago. Sabonis was at the line. He shot a free throw. Russell said something to him right before he shot it. Then as he let go, Russell yelled out his name incorrectly. And I was just like, wow, Russell's still trying to get under Sabonis' skin. And then Domantas had the third quarter for the ages and really flipped the script on that. So Russell doesn't have the mental edge on Sabonis anymore. For whatever that means, it's gone now.
That's it. That was the difference maker last year. All right, man, I appreciate you coming on. Where can everybody follow you and all your stuff?
Okay, Twitter, it's really simple. Brady Does Sports. I write for, like you said, Franchise OK. It's the radio station here in Oklahoma City, 107.7 The Franchise. So yeah, if you are interested in Thunder basketball at all, I have a podcast with my partner Madison Morris. We do just basically a post game show after every single game. It's called OKC 82. It's in the title, so that should tell you all you need to know.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Have a good one. This will be a fun game.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to a good game. And hopefully, it's easy and no overtimes and no 20-point comebacks because I just want to go to the arena, watch some good basketball, and then go home.
That's the dream. Thanks, Brady.